bread. That most familiar of foods. Bread is perhaps the poster child of food. The smell of baking bread wafting out of a bakery, or even better, homemade bread. Bread conjures up comfort and home. I remember the tradition of taking bread fresh from the oven to the home of a grieving family. Somehow, in the midst of grief, comfort was found in the bread. Bread changes things. Bread changes us. Today's reading uses the domestic scene of bread making as an image of the kingdom of God. Jesus likens the kingdom to leaven that a woman has put together with dough until it is completely leavened. A woman, I imagine, alone in her kitchen, making bread, waiting patiently for it to prove so that she can bake it and feed her family. It's a secure, comforting image, things the way they used to be, perhaps, or perhaps the way we wish they could be again. But hang on a minute. This is a parable. And we know that parables deal with the present and the future, not the past. Parables aren't about nostalgia. So if we go down that track, best to think again. Because packed in this very sparse story is shocking news that would have been nothing less than scandalous to its first hearers. Leaven is at the very least a mixed bag in the Bible. It was considered a corrupting, disruptive agent. Baking yeast brings to mind those little neat sachets of little tiny pellets you can buy at the supermarket. Well, in biblical times, it referred to a piece of decaying bread that was permeated with leaven or yeast, a fungus that causes fermentation as it consumes a food source. It's a bit like saying the kingdom of God is like the rotten apple that spoils the whole barrel. What? Traditionally, it's unleavened bread that symbolizes holiness and purity. How can the kingdom be like leaven? Shouldn't it be leaven-free? What about Passover? What about the Exodus? It's a bit like being told that the kingdom of heaven is similar to a computer virus wreaking havoc on the network, or toxic fumes that will not kill you but enable you to live forever. Shocking. In both the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, we find not the natural and the expected, but the supernatural and the shocking. Growth is natural. Yesterday in the high street, I bumped into two of the children from our Abbey Sunday School, and I was a little taken aback by how they'd shot up over the summer months. Oh, look how you've grown. I'm sure they love it when adults say that. That's a wonderful progression, a natural one. But the image of the mustard seed and the leaven is hyper-natural. The mustard seed, it's about a weed, a shrub, taking over the garden of God. In the other parable, one single woman is in one batch making about 70 loaves of bread. That's the quantity given. She had no freezer. That bread needed to be shared and shared quietly and shared quickly. Otherwise, it would go off. This woman is baking as if she will feed the world. This is kingdom talk. And in the kitchen of the kingdom, the heat is on and something is cooking. Bread has its own story to tell. A story of agitation for the sake of transformation. Listen to a master baker tell it. According to Peter Reinhardt, it takes 12 stages for bread to become bread. He says, wheat is alive, then harvested and ground. We kill it. Then when we add water and salt, we turn it into clay. Stage 3. The fermentation or leavening is the most critical because that's when the dough becomes alive. He describes this portion of the process as the leaven factor. When yeast gets wet and is mixed into the dough, it wakes up and the fermentation process begins. At this moment, the dough is forever changed, transformed from unleavened to leavened bread. Once dough has been fermented, it has, in a sense, passed through its awakening and has been reborn as a new creature ready to grow and become what it is ultimately going to be. Thus, bread making is the act of bringing ingredients that were once alive back to life, new life. Who can hear his words without the image being filled to overflowing of Christ, the bread of life? The one who died and rose to new life for us. The one who says, I am the bread of life. The contaminating, corrupting leaven as a symbol for the kingdom of God is as shocking as one's anointed Messiah being born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem. The one who was born in Bethlehem, the name means city of bread, would become bread for the world. Today, I think the challenge is for those who are relegated to the margins of society to begin to be able to see themselves as holy leaven, as vital members and full members of the believing community. And also, for those who enjoy the privilege of being in the majority, the parable issues a summons to challenge attitudes towards persons they may consider corrupt or corrupting, and to see them as the very ones who provide the active ingredients necessary for the growth of the community of God. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. the leaven of life will never produce the language of mockery or prejudice or arrogance or a spirit of greed, hoarding, or exclusion. This short parable asks us to throw all our preconceived notions open to question, to God's questioning, as to what is clean and unclean, to expose the new that has been hidden, to put together the impossible, death and life, corruption and salvation, camels and the eyes of needles. Sadly, we live in the midst of two realities in our world. Rampant spiritual hunger, acknowledged or unacknowledged, and rampant physical hunger. They cannot be separated, and they come together in the bread. As T.D. Davis states, bread for myself is an economic problem. But bread for my sisters and brothers is a theological problem. Theology and economics cannot be separated, and they come together in the bread. It is shocking that here, in the sixth richest nation in the world, up to 3 million children spend their school holidays at risk of not getting enough food. A recent investigation into holiday hunger, it's bad when they've got a term for it, contains testimony of a child vomiting because their diet consisted entirely of crisps, as well as a group of children dropping out of a football tournament as they had not eaten a meal for days beforehand. Quote, their bodies simply gave up on them. This is about the leaven of death. This is unclean and this is unholy. I don't mean to be flip when I say this calls for a whole different concept of the Great British Bake Off. And we can feed others in so many ways. Daniel Olson writes, to the one who feels no trust, your trust can be her bread. To the one who feels no worth, the encouragement that lifts and builds can be his bread. To the one who feels downtrodden, an act of caring can be her bread. To one who feels deep guilt, forgiveness can be his bread. The parable of the leaven is the most cosmic home economics lesson imaginable. For in the kingdom economics, when we give of ourselves and from what God has given us, we are not lessened, we are not diminished, rather we expand into the people we were designed to be. It's impossible, in the sense that with all God, all things are possible. That's the leaven factor. That's the holy leaven of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.